August 18, 2016, it's the Watt for Pedro Show. Thank you.
at first, Scorpion scared me half to death. Those old dance halls, beautiful couples doing the two-step. I sometimes think I left my heart there. Dried up creeks that flow water every once in a while. My friends, Megs and Josh and Michael. Sometimes I feel like I'm suffocating. Ground is so hard, it's so sandy. Sun is bearing down on my heart.
For Pedro Show. And then Pedro, but now my brother Matt, still indisposed because of his teaching gig and the sketch. They've assigned him, so man alone, but not actually alone, because through the wonder of Skype, I'm talking Miss Melvis and bandmate John from Cleveland, right? Via the Mac,
yes,
yes. Skype. So Pedro Cleveland connection. I've done a few of those before, like Wasco, Matt Waskovich, John Pekovich, Tony Mamoni.
Oh yeah, we know all of them.
Do you know Demos?
Oh yeah.
He's I think he plays the bone. One day I'm going to record
know about
with him.
We know Tony and...
Well, Demos is where... he's not too far from Cleveland Heights, where I play a lot at Kathy's pad, and that's where I conk.
Shop probably, right?
Oh, at Kathy's at the grog shop, right?
Yeah, and Demos right. Is a guy who's got a pad not from that far from there. And God, I remember last time I was there with the Italian guys, and he brings out this shrink-wrap VHS tape, you know... I don't know, 120 Days of Pasolo, you know, Pasolini. He says, why won't anybody watch this with me?
That's a sick movie.
Well, maybe that's a lot. No, it's okay. But I have a good, strong Cleveland connection. I think, God, I can't remember the first time I played there, but it was called, by this time, Peabody's Underground. It was one of Mr. Carnegie's first warehouses at the flats there.
Oh, right. Peabody's Down Under.
Yeah. No, actually, that's the second time. First time was under the Agora. They had some place, some little club underneath the Big Pad, and us and Black Flag were downstairs. This might have been early 80s. And the Romantics were upstairs. Oh. Red Leather, I remember.
I remember them.
Very sweaty. I think they tore this, or the place burned down?
No. What, the Agora?
The old Agora.
No, it was torn down.
It was torn down. But I think there was a fire there.
Yeah, I think there was a fire.
Yeah, but that was located right on the campus of Cleveland State, and I remember I would go see the Pretenders there at lunchtime, and all sorts of bands came in there in the basement. It, they did these lunch hour.
Pop shop.
That's what it was. It was called the Pop Shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I went into the head. There was the singer of the Romantics, and he was, you know, I wasn't spying or anything, but I came in, and he was in the mirror, you know, doing, and he looked at me, and he goes, "That's showbiz." That's right.
You know, I saw the Romantics open for somebody at our big, large coliseum that used to be out between here and Akron.
They were
and the
Detroit,
whole time
right?
they were playing, the guy, the singer, I don't even know who he is, I had his zipper down, and I was like, oh, man, I wish someone could tell him.
I think they were Detroit.
Detroit, yeah. Well, we feel a kinship with Detroit and Detroit music, I think.
Yeah, of course. Both lake towns, kind of rust towns a little bit. Both got strong spirits. I love both bands. Kind of hard winters and summers for Spoiled Watt and Pedro.
Yeah.
Look, Ms. Melvis, your earliest music memory?
Well, my very first musical memory, I think I'd have to say the one that lasts, is going to see Seals and Crofts with my parents in the 70s, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I saw them. They were at the California Jam. They got the biggest response. If you can
believe
that.
Yeah, they took us to this place called, you know where Blossom Music Center is? In Ohio? It's in the woods somewhere down south a little bit by Akron, Ohio. And we couldn't, it was new at the time and there were no lights and we got lost and it took hours to find the car and that was my earliest rock and roll memory.
Okay, yeah.
John?
I have to admit that those, my parents had Calypso records.
Mm.
And I remember listening to those and that's the only music that I had. This is like when I'm 3 or 4 years old, so that was my, and then when I started.
That's pretty bitching. You got memories that old.
It, I drew pictures of the band, the ideal band. I drew pictures of it, you know, and the band in Spider-Man was The Who. And I think there's the Won't Get Fooled Again is the song that, like got me into rock music and inspired me. So,
Magic Bus has got kind of a Calypso sound. I think they used that Bo Diddley beat.
Yeah.
You know, I should say with the music, we started off with the late blues, which was appropriate because of Watt's situation, John Coltrane, and then the Duo Decibel System with Hearts in the Ground from the debut album, right?
That's our first record. We just came out July 6th, yes.
Well, I didn't mean to use the French word debut, but it kind of means first. So, back to the early music stuff. Can you remember the first record you bought? Either of you.
Oh, I do. I remember the first one I bought on my own was the Cars record, the very first record.
Cars.
And I went up to the record store.
Yeah, New Wave, like late 70s.
Yeah, I went up and bought that at the local record shop, and they said, "Why are you buying this?" And I said, "Well, why not? I like the record." And they said, "Well, you're the only person so far that's ever purchased it at that point."
Well, then they should have gave it to you for free if they're
they should have. I guess
smart ass peckers about it.
This was very obviously right.
No, I remember those days, all these smug motherfuckers, even though I wasn't the biggest Cars fan. They were such a threat to their monolithic kind of hold on corporate rock, you know. They didn't want anybody. It was weird. And then breaking disco records, too.
Those
guys were a bunch of pricks. What about you, John?
Brewer and Shipley, One Took Over the Line.
Oh, I remember
Jesus.
That. I didn't remember the record, but I remember AM radio played it a lot. Do you guys remember AM radio? They used to play a lot of the music, yeah. One Toke Over the Line.
In fact, there's a guy here that has a show, I wish I knew his name, on Saturdays on College, and he plays all those old like AM radio spots for the old like countdowns and stuff. Well,
especially Cleveland, Alan Freed, and that's how rock and roll got on the radio. FM was not even a... Yeah, it wasn't even a glimmer yet.
I think it was more interesting. It was my second 45 I bought.
Yeah.
Papa Umau Mau. Was it by the Rivingtons?
Sure.
Am I right about that?
I remember that. But why did you get One Toke Over the Line? Jesus is in that song, right?
It had nothing to do with it. I think it was just a random purchase. I have no idea what went into it. I remember putting it on.
I still don't. I mean, one took over the line, and then Jesus.
Yeah, sweet Jesus, I think.
Sweet Jesus.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more of an just something you say when something trippy happens. Look, I want to play something here from you guys. Freight Train.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Who made that video?
What about the video?
Who made it?
Oh, John.
Wow, you did a great job, John.
Thank you, appreciate it.
People, John is the drummer man in Duo Decibel System. Let's listen.
Years and some I've often been asked, Andre, why haven't you been invited to the Hall of Fame? You've contributed all your life to music. You've been around the world more than once. You must have ran over the president's dog at one time or another. And you know what? You've been a writer. You've been an actor. You've been a vocalist. You've been a road manager. You've been a publisher. You've been a recording executive. Why? What does it take . There's been more than a few that's been overlooked. Could it be my earrings or my red suit? Or is it because I've made love to a few white girls? It could be because I never had a hit. Well, that's a lie. I had a few. I just can't call them all. I've had worse things happen to me. So I'm not gonna jump in front of a car. I've slept in cars. I've drank in bars. I've rode the sails. Spent time in jail. So if I'm never invited to the Hall of Fame, I still consider myself a winner. So if I'm moving on, I won't linger. I'm not the only one who got the finger. So you know what? Kiss off. Just kiss off. I don't mean to be vulgar, and I ain't trying to be slick. I'm just telling you how I feel. And I know there's more that feel like me, who never had a bite of the glory tree. But if that's the way you feel, Hall of Fame, I got one thing to say. And this is coming from the heart of Andre. Kiss off. 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 Kiss off.
Does the sun really burn the clouds away? Or is it just a myth? Is it just a myth? Does the sun really sing? Burn, baby, burn. Burn, baby, burn. Disco inferno. Burn, baby, burn. Disco inferno. Burn that mother down.
For Peter Show with the Duodecimal System, Freight Train, Andre Williams. He's got a new record, Hall of Fame, from Bloodshot Records out of Chicago. That's kind of a sister town with you guys, another lake town.
Oh yeah,
big one. To back after that, Mr. Tom out of Pittsburgh with Let's Get Worn Away. Colin Newman, Order for Order. He had this band called Wire, which still does. This is demos from his first. He's re-releasing his early 80s solo things. Dagger Moth out of Italy with The Kind of Fire. Baby Cakes does The Sun. Yeah, Baby Cakes is a cat named Jeff in New York City who just quit Fruity because he said he couldn't handle one of the band members. That happens, right? Diane Marie Klobuchar finally with Philosopher Part 2. Back to my guests here, Duo Decibel System. So, when do you guys, John, you want to go first? When did you first get the fucking drumsticks in your hand and why?
Oh, I was like, I think 14 years old. I started late. And
Joe Biza, the Sacred Trust guitar man, started guitar 27.
Yeah, see, that's
wow. No, but that was one of the things about the punk movement, you know, that people just got on board. I didn't read, actually, Alan Vega told me he wanted to be a singer after seeing Ig. And then Ig told me he wanted to quit drums and sing because he saw Lou. So it's all about that, right? So you're 14 years old, you think that's kind of old? How did it happen?
What's that?
We didn't hear the end of that, Mike.
How did it happen?
Oh, I always wanted to play the. I love drums. I was just attracted to drums. So my first drumsticks with on paint cans in my basement was with those wooden rods from coat hangers.
Oh yeah.
I unscrewed those, and those were my initial drumsticks.
And you beat on paint cans?
Yeah, paint cans. That's all I had.
A lot of tone.
There is a lot of tone in paint cans.
It's probably more tone than fucking pots and pans. Because that's usually the story. You're beating on your parents' pots. I think even Elvin Jones said he got started on pots and pans. So paint, that's a little deeper. That's got more tone, I think. And so what'd you do? Did you play to record or just on your man alone and just...
I had to play the records.
Okay, you started playing. Who was a big inspiration?
There's three, actually. Keith Moon.
Yeah.
Stuart Copeland and Bill Bruford.
Bruford, I know. He's kind of from Prague, right? King Crimson.
Right, yeah.
But who's the other guy?
Stuart Copeland. From the Police.
Police. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Actually,
he had a family involved in music because Minutemen once did a MTV interview at maybe it was his pop, he had a mansion. For some reason, they put us in this backyard of this guy. Oh, the show was called IRS, and I think, yeah, I can't remember, whatever. So you like those guys,
and I
you're playing King Crimson records on paint cans with fucking coat hanger sticks.
Right, and then Ronald Shannon Jackson, I started listening to that guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's my Desert Island album, by the way, the one he put out called Barbecue Dog.
Barbecue Dog.
I love that shit. So
that's, Moby,
that's where I came from.
The Moby guy, Moby Grape guy put out a record, right? Skip Spence? Yeah, drummers, Dennis Wilson, great singer. Drummer, it's really strange about the role people give drummers, like they're supposed to be the retard. And actually, they hold all the power, if you ask me. So very interesting. When did you move to a kit? Did you ever do school stuff?
Band, right?
Yeah, you do hold all the power.
Okay. Did you do any of the school stuff, John?
No, I didn't. I in fact, as far as lessons,
in, independent I study,
a little bit here and there, and then everything else was just like playing with other people.
Knowing by doing, yeah. Okay, Ms. Malvis, what about you? When did you first pick up an instrument?
Well, I think I had one, you know, a guitar for years when I was a kid. And
how?
Pretended to play.
Like your parents gave you?
No, I don't know. We had some toy things laying around, I guess. But I didn't really start playing until I was about 28, actually, which is late.
Yeah, like Joe Bison.
Yeah, and I just started a band with my brother. And at the time, it was just blues. We were just trying to play basic stuff, basic blues. And at that time, I got introduced to the Cleveland blues scene a little bit, you know, made friends with a couple people. Wallace Coleman is this really great harmonica player here.
Who's the other one that just passed away? Mr.
Matt Lockwood. Oh, no.
They called him, he had a nickname, Mr.
Stress.
Mr. Stress, that's it. Because Uncle Ray, you guys know Uncle Ray? He's a buddy of mine in there in town. He lived in California, but he was original and went back. He told me Mr. Stress was a big part of the blues scene there.
Oh, he was huge, yeah. He was a huge part. And so, and physically.
And you were talking, also Akron. There was something called the Numbers Band.
Oh, yeah.
They had the Pretenders, Lady Singer's brother or something.
Right. Yeah, yep. Terry Hind. And I used to go see them, you know, back when I was a kid. I'd drive to Kent, you know, at midnight to go see the Numbers Band. But, yeah, I got into the blues thing a little bit and, you know, discovered some blues guitarists. There's this guy, I don't know if you've heard of him, called Snooks Eaglin. He's a blind blues guitar player who's just amazing. And I just wanted to play and started, like you said, it's by doing, you know, it's just getting together with some people that don't know how. And
what's your brother play?
My brother's a great bass player, actually.
So you guys had other guys in the band, too?
Oh, yeah. We all had no idea what we were doing and just sort of learned from there, you know.
What was it, quartet, trio?
Quartet. I think we were calling ourselves early on the Mink Strollers.
Early on the Mink Strollers. That's a name. Do you remember your first gig?
Mine was, I did an open mic at a blues jam, you know, and it was pretty, I don't know, looking back, I can't believe I even did it, but.
Were you scared?
Yeah, I was terrified.
What about you, John? First gig?
1981, at Hennessy's, opening up for Raven Slaughter.
Oh, yeah.
I had a band from some friends from high school called Sigmund Freud. We were a trio, and we had no idea what we were doing. That was crazy, but Hennessy's is this awesome club. David Bowie played there, actually.
Wow.
Yeah,
I never got to play there. I remember playing a trippy pad called Fantasy, and they had a boat in.
Hennessy's right across the street from Fantasy.
Is that right? So I was close.
Yeah. Fantasy still has the boat.
They're still around? All right.
I think they're trying to sell it, but, you know, they have a theater attached to that building.
I didn't know that.
So, and that's decrepit, you know, but the boat always mystified me. It was the place where you went to get stoned.
Okay. It was the boat? You know, my pop was a sailor, so I'm partial to boats. People don't realize, because the first big project in the U.S. was the Erie Canal. And by doing that, the Hudson River got connected to the Great Lakes. And, people, you know, because trains, planes, cars. But that's why you've got all those big towns around the Great Lakes.
Right.
Right, the St. Lawrence Seaway.
All that stuff. It was all the way you move stuff. It's just different nowadays. But there's reasons why towns are where they are. That's interesting, though, about Fantasy. I think only two or three times I played there. You know, towns change, the dynamics of what's happening. So if you're in this for a little while, you get to see some sea change. So do you remember the first time you recorded, John?
First time I recorded? Yeah. It was in my... it was the guy, the engineer is a guy named Sean Bevan. I think he moved out to the West Coast. He's like a big engineer out there now. But he had a little four-track Fostex. And he recorded Pestilence, the band that was in hardcore band, in like 1984 in my parents' basement. So that it was you know, that was my first recording experience ever.
And for him, that's where he's getting his start too.
Sean, yeah, absolutely. He was going to Cleveland State to study recording engineering, and I think he got his degree in that. And
so you guys were kind of lab rats.
And then he got involved with Trent Reznor and the Nine Inch Nails tour.
He's Erie, right?
Pardon me?
Town in Ohio called Erie.
Yeah, yeah.
No, maybe it's Pennsylvania.
Well, actually, Erie's in PA.
Yeah, because there's that little stretch there between New York and you guys.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's really, you know what? In fall time, I dig California, but man, those leaves around that area are righteous.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're at the end of the first hour, August 18, 2016 edition of Peter Show. Hold tight for hour two. August 18, 2016. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
daddy has told her to go, but her friend is nowhere to be seen. Now she walks through her sunken dream to the seat with the clearest view, and she's looked to the silver screen. But the film is a sad bore, for she's lived it 10 times or more. Take a look at the long man beating up the wrong guy. Oh man, wonder if he'll ever know he's in the best-selling show. Is a life on has grown up a cow. Now the workers are struck for fame, 'cause linen's on sale again. See the mice in the million hordes, from Ibiza to the north abroad. Rue Britannia is out of bounds to my mother, my dog and clown. But the film is a sad and bore, 'cause I wrote it 10 times or more. It's about to be written again, as I ask you to focus on Sanders fighting in the dance hall. Oh man, look at those cavemen go. It's the freakiest show. Take a look at the lone man beating up the wrong guy.
For Pedro Show, start the second hour off with Duo Decibel System, Another Girl in the Glove. What about that one?
Well, that's one of our favorites, actually. That one actually was created pretty organically.
Yeah, that was when, like, we just wrote that together, just like on a jam.
Yeah, we just started playing and it came out, and that was it. Like, we had a recording and we're saying, well, this is pretty decent. And,
yeah.
We record everything on a little Tascam. And I try to sort through it, you know.
Tascam, Fostex. You guys are into the brand names. You remember
that. Yeah, well,
That's okay.
Uh-oh.
It's when you take pictures, you got to hide the beer bottles. I hate beer commercials with the promo.
But anyway, yeah, we just sort of started playing them. You know, words came out, and the whole thing was there really quickly.
Yeah. It flowed really nice.
Cabin. Then we have Petra Haden doing David Bowie, Life on Mars, a cappella. King Champion Sounds, brand new out of Holland. Drum and bass for A.B. Lemon Kittens, Only a Rose from my old collection. I found these after 35 years. Space, brand new, I Am the Insect out of Liverpool. And finally, Gigi Band, Oaktown. You've been changing time zones. How did Duo Decibel System come about?
Do you want me to tell this?
Go ahead. It's all you, okay? Yeah.
Well, really, I had lived in Texas for a little bit. I moved there and came back 2 years ago or so. And John was playing with some friends of mine, the Dutch Babies. And they asked me to come by and play a little bit. And I went for a couple sessions and just didn't think it was for me right now. It was really sort of fast, you know, sort of punk rock-esque type stuff. And it wasn't where I was at. And so shortly after that, John quit the band. And I had a show scheduled with no drummer or anybody, really. And it was at a pretty big club in Akron. So I found him on LinkedIn and just said, hey, will you do this with me? And he liked it. And now we're like a just a real unit, the two of us.
You mean you actually played in this, like, hardcore thing? But then you find him through the internet?
Well, no, I went and played. I met him at the rehearsal, but I didn't know how to reach him. I didn't have his contact info, and I just checked one of the, you know, social media sites and got a hold of him. And we did the show, and we just, you know, it worked out well. We just continued to do it, and now, you know, everything has changed. We started doing some electronic stuff because of John and his love for that type of
thing. What about this tune, Bittersweet, we're going to hear next?
Oh, Bittersweet, yeah, that's a real personal song, sort of about my experience in Texas.
Wow, great segue there. Let's listen.
Bittersweet, it's how we meet. pretend everything's alright. Lost and low, away we go, trying to decide. Lying deep inside, we're not sad tonight. Comes a day, well, they say, when everything must die, except the earth and sky above it all. We can't tell what's going on. We got feelings, something's wrong, kept apart.
stranger lying on the barroom floor. I drank so much he could drink no more. And so he fell asleep with a troubled brain to dream that he rode on a downbound train. Engine of blood was sweating again, and brilliantly lit with a brimstone lamp. And imps for fuel were shuddering bones while the furnace rang with a thousand groans. The boiler was filled with lager beer, the devil himself was the engineer. The passengers were most a motley crew. Some were foreigners, and others he knew. Rich men and lost beggars in rags, handsome young ladies and wicked old hags. As the train rushed at a terrible pace, sulfuric fumes scorched their hands and face. Wider and wider the country grew. Faster and faster the engine flew. Louder and louder the thunder crashed. Brighter and brighter the lightning flashed. Hotter and hotter the air became, till their clothes were burned with each quivering refrain. And out of the din there came a yell. Ha ha, said the devil, we're nearing hell. Oh, how the passengers shriek in pain. They go to Satan with this downbound train. The stranger awoke with an anguished cry. His clothes wet with sweat and his hair standing high. He fell on his knees on the barroom floor. He prayed a prayer like never before, and the prayers and vows were not in vain, for he never rode on that downbound train.
Here on Come on.
Pedro show, we heard Duo Decibel System doing Bittersweet. After that, a moment's thought. This is out of Toledo, which is, this guy Dan McGuire. A downbound train, it's called. This is a prodge. He's done a couple things with me, but I read about Toledo being part of this war Ohio had with Michigan. And, Ohio, the feds came in and said, Ohio, you can have Toledo, but don't worry, Michigan, because we'll give you part of Wisconsin up in the north. You know about this? Yeah, crazy. Anyway, Marsh Weed, brand new from Heather. Sad Place. I think 2 years to get this thing done, she told me. Death Hymn number 9, Open Sesame. I get to play with them this Saturday. It's a Pedro guy, Paul, with some Orange County dudes. The lead guitar goes off in a chair. He won't play stand up. Big man, too. Tall. And just likes to ride. And they wear white powder in their face. Postcards from Jeff, Guys to the Sun. That's from England, Yorkshire. Chris Smith on the drums. Finally, Massacott with Suri Gruti. That's Nandic living in Switzerland now, and he's a brand new project. Okay, you're saying that the band is veering into electronic frontiers. So where does this put John?
Well, that's when I stand up for my drum. And started pressing buttons.
Okay. Yeah. So you don't do drum, electronic drums.
Well, no, I don't like playing electronic drums. I like either acoustic drums or an electronic piece being ambient or something like that. Okay. We're trying to figure a way where I can play the launch the electronics while I'm playing the drums. And I've got a Roland drum pad that might help with that, but. We're still working that in there, but when we do the electronics live, I literally go over to my sampler and my synthesizers that I have set up kind of right next to us, right?
Yes. Yeah. And then I ditch the guitar, so...
And you got your own synthesizer.
No, Mel doesn't have one, but she should.
She ditches the guitar, so is she just lead singer? Kind of a Roger Daltrey thing?
She plays percussion and stuff.
Ah, okay. So she takes the drummer role a little bit.
She does. She shakes some jingles and stuff.
It's the thing, though. Our shows are, split now between, just rock and roll songs with guitar and drums, and then we have this electronic stuff, which has really been going over pretty well, actually.
Yeah.
But so we're trying to figure out...
Now, but you don't do the electronic. You just sing and do percussion when it goes electronic.
Just sing.
Okay.
But it's very different for me, because I started out just with guitar. I didn't start singing until about 10 years ago, so...
No, if you did start playing percussion, that could be electronics. It'd be very interesting. What you would trigger?
Yeah, you're giving us ideas, Mike.
Maybe I'm planting seeds in your brain.
Yes.
I
sorry might end about up that. With a sequencer.
Sequencer. Well, that's what I was talking about. That's driven by a machine. A little different, John, than like playing an electric pad. You're still actually playing with a sequencer. It's being driven. You know what I mean? That's why I brought up the Kraftwerk thing.
No,
actually, one of those guys wrote a book on the band. It's pretty interesting.
Kraftwerk's a huge influence on me, but the biggest influence is Brian Eno more than anybody else.
Oh, as far as electronics and synth.
Sounds, yeah. When we do our electronics, I try to get them to be more organic sounding, not totally machine like.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Did you ever see Kraftwerk live?
I've never seen them live, no.
They're pretty funny. They have little mannequins. And I don't know about now. There's only one guy left, and he has three guys, kind of hand puppets. But the original band was pretty funny. It was, I think they was having a good time. I know it had this pseudo kind of seriousness, but I think they were also having a good time. Showroom Dummies, We Are the Robots.
Right. They are the robots, yeah.
Showroom Dummies. I found the studio in Dusseldorf, Kling Klang. It's all hidden and, mysterious, and there's no sign and stuff. I found it. I was afraid to ring the bell, though. So, have you guys, you're just performing this stuff. You haven't recorded it yet.
The electronic?
Yeah, thing? This new mode of the duo.
Oh, well, yeah. Now, there's a couple on the newest record. I think Way Down Here is one, and What a Day.
Yeah, I've already played that on my show. You know, I've been playing your stuff for the last few months.
Yeah, we saw that.
Much
thank you
thank
so
you.
Much.
No problem.
Yeah. So then now we have, I don't know, we have about a handful of...
Yeah, no, but are you doing it for people at the gigs?
Pardon me?
Are you doing it for the people at the gigs?
Oh, for sure, yeah. Like, we had a CD release party last week at a house, a private residence, and we focused largely on just the electronic set and just closed out with a couple guitar songs. So I could see us sort of moving in this different direction. It'll be interesting to see what we collect for the next record. We've got about
You mean you're telling me next stop Pet Shop Boys?
No.
Okay. Well, at the end of the second hour, August 18, 2016, this is Watt Beatles Show. Hold tight for hour three. August 18, 2016, it's the third hour. Watt for Pedro Show.
Silver hair and lining, all the friends are riding, eating and weeping, all the time she's biting. Harder to be well and to live well, and want her to move us and to prove us. Just an energy. All the friends are ready, shaking and waking. All the boys are waiting. We want her to be well and live swell. We want her to move us and to prove us. Nobody knows what to do. Might make it through. Nobody knows what to do. Well, she might make it through. Well, she might make it through. She cries a lake, she drowns in fear. Hotel bars and lucky charms for years. Manicured lawns at the family. And millions of songs to dance to. We want her to be well and to live well. We want her to move us and to prove us. Nobody knows what to do. Might make it through. Nobody knows. What to do? Will she make it through? Will she make it through? Will she make it through to you?
Kimberly Austin, come on, Kim. manantial de tu alma, catecidos son señales de dolor y sufrimiento. Si miran a un hombre muy entristecido, ese soy yo que quiero acompañar tus sentimientos. Si miran a un hombre muy entristecido, ese soy yo que quiero acompañar tus sentimientos. Acompaña tus sentimientos, acompaña tus sentimientos, acompaña tus sentimientos, acompaña tus sentimientos. Cambio que las tuyas son muy ardientes, porque marchitan mi alma y aumenta mi pesar. Cuando un manantial de tu alma está crecido, son señales de dolor y sufrimiento. Si miran a un hombre muy entristecido, ese soy yo que quiero acompañar tus sentimientos. Si miran a un hombre muy entristecido, ese soy yo que quiero acompañar tus sentimientos. Acompaña tus sentimientos, acompaña tus sentimientos, acompaña tus sentimientos, acompaña tus sentimientos.
For Peter show started the third hour off with something live from the Duodecibel system. Be well, live swell. Where was this at?
That's you.
Oh, be well, live swell. Yeah, I wrote that a long time ago. And actually, that was the first song I ever wrote, Mike. And then I had a really weird chorus part, and I finally, maybe 10 years later or whatever it was, 8 years later, figured out a different, you know, organization of the song and recorded it with some guys from Texas. I don't know what you have there, but...
It was you live.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
I found it on the YouTube.com website.
Oh, it's a video. Okay, yeah. So that song's really old, but that's a... it's an interesting song. I kind of wrote it about myself. It was like a little message to myself.
You know, Scott Krause had me play on some songs with you.
Yeah, we did. We did.
Was this you in Texas?
Scott Krause? No, he's from Cleveland.
Oh, I know that. He's a Paraubu dude. But I'm saying, were you there then?
Oh yes, I was. We did it. I came in town to do it, but I was living in Texas.
Yeah, you came back right to do this because I remember him telling me something about that. Yeah, I'm a big fan of Scott Krause.
Oh yeah, he's great.
So this was you alone. Then we had the Heretics doing "Dream the Electric Sleep," but it was labeled Dual Decibel System. Okay, so that's why I bumped it. So sorry, John, no slight to you. Then we have Stefano Pagliari out of Italy doing "What Are They Doing in Heaven Today." That's who I'm going to record with next. Tour with next month with Andrea Belfi. El Sonio de Marinaio. Disciplina Kichma out of Belgrade with "La Dos No Opravdava Bizvest." Yeah, my survey's so good. And The Bright Sides with Hero. That's got Tim Gobblehoof out of West Mass. Kimberly Austin, that's something I did with Porno for Pyros live on MTV. It's the first time I helped somebody out in another band, an incredible group of cats. Ojad Fair, High Five Club, Cap Michigan with "Hand in Hand." A little collab there. France, Michigan, and I think Maryland is Ojad Fair's from. And finally, Very Be Careful out of here. These are some Colombian guys doing this style called Vallenato, called Manantial de Alma. And love accordion. Love accordion. So what's up, what do you got planned?
What do we have planned?
There's an echo in here.
Plan.
Tomorrow, actually, we're playing a punk rock barbecue at Pat's in the Flats. And I'm playing, no electronics, and I'm playing a cocktail drum set, stand-up.
Yeah, people, these were little kits, so they could play on tiny stages. The kick, it was like a tall floor tom. The pedal hits up, so the bottom turns into the kick drum. Top has got a little kind of snare dealio, and then the cymbals attached to that, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So, but I'm not playing the pedal. I took the pedal away. Okay. I'm putting in a kick port at the bottom of the bottom head, and I have a mic right there, and I might put a subwoofer mic on there as well. So I get it more low end,
yeah.
But I'm just going to play with my like just sticks, no foot pedals or anything.
Okay,
so, Mike, do you know who the Frogs are?
Sure, one of them drowned. Yeah. One of the brothers drowned, right?
Yeah, they used to play with the stand up kit. Yeah,
that's right. And also Wings.
Who?
Wings. They wore Wings.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They used to wear Wings. There's that.
Oh, Wings. Yeah. Oh, the Frogs. Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah, there was that album. It's so trippy. Through the Fog, through the. Yeah, they were. See, to me, that's punk. It's not style of music. It's just you don't know what's going to come next. And you don't always have to be fast, you know?
Yeah, the drummer had the black face paint on all the time.
You know, there's a whole story about that. Minstrel, right? There's a whole tradition. It's older than that guy. Yeah. Nick Tosches and his... But before him, even. Nick Tosches argues that's some of the roots of country music.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I believe it. Jewish songwriters, too. Check out his book. He's a good writer. He wrote some trippy thing, a riff on Dante. So what about plans of touring?
Well, we would like to. We're trying to get that together now. We
because the duo could actually tour maybe in a car.
Yeah, easily.
I told Mel, keep me busy.
We're working on that. It's hard to book when we haven't been around. You know, we've been around for years doing different things, but we have this new thing, and we're trying to get it together here.
What's the name mean?
Well, I always thought the Dewey Decibel System was a funny name for the library.
Yeah.
Filing
catalog.
And so when John and I started really writing together, I suggested we just become a band, and we decided we were going to use Dewey Decibel System. And
so there's two of us, so let's do a
Decibel System.
What about this Put Me to Bed?
That's all Mel.
Yeah, that's just a funny song about when I was living with somebody in Texas.
More Texas.
I was in Austin, Texas.
Texas has supplied a lot of grist for the mill.
Oh, for sure. Oh, yeah.
Let's listen.
I'm dressed as a nun. And the new angle is, it's owned by one of those American women, one of those programs they show on ITVB. You know, the ones where obscenely rich people shout one another in faux posh accents like Lloyd Grossman, talk about their feelings, whine about how bad their lives are. On Sunday I'm going to download the new Mumford & Sons album, listen to it in the car on the way to IKEA. Going to buy me a new coffee table for my chinchilla. Something all white and futuristic looking, right out of Clockwork Orange. I mean, when life gives you lemons, you sometimes end up with a blue cow in the boot of your car. Yeah, I got that from a man one of my old school friends posted on Facebook. What is this thing I ever heard? I mean, when I say school friends, we went to the same school. Didn't really hang around together all that much.
Baseball, World Series, the bullpen. Here in St. Louis, they put the trolleys back in. Ride is slower, bumpier and noisier. There's a piece you'll seldom find. Sitting by strangers, standing by neighbors, a joy in the pace of the ride. Break from the whirlwind outside. Did you hear here in St. Louis? They put the trolleys back in. Why they took them out in the first place is a shame and a sin. My late great Uncle Will, he drove the last one. It was 1966, he was 91. The mayor was there to greet him. The crowd raised a din. In downtown St. Louis, they're putting the trolleys back in.
Watt from Pedro Show, last music for this edition, Put Me to Bed, something live from the Duo Decibel System. Where was that? You know, I found this on YouTube.com also.
Oh, you did? I don't know where that was.
Okay, mysteriously.
Oh, Yorktown Lanes.
Oh, Yorktown Lanes, probably, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's, you're right, John.
We like playing in bowling.
That was my first job. I worked there when I was 16.
You, what, a pin boy? No, they're automatic pins.
I was a pin setter.
You were a pin setter. Wow.
Yeah. I actually fixed the machines.
Oh, well, so they did have machines, but you serviced them. Okay. Because in the older days, they had dudes who actually did that shit.
Exactly.
Can you imagine sitting up there hearing all that? What a trip. Now, it's Mr. Susan with Blue Cow, after that, Toys That Kill, the safe song. They're on tour, people. Go see Toys That Kill. Happy's Someone Else's Couch. Tollum, he's out playing. Where Belongs Who? Dick Deluxe with St. Louis Trolleys. And finally, Umbra from Layman. So, the plan is to help keep John busy, maybe with some touring, get the name out there, get the band out there. Maybe do another video you were talking, John?
We are. We have more videos in place.
Yeah,
we're storyboarded already.
Storyboarded, right.
We have video it now.
And now, I know this record just came out, but do you guys have plans, maybe because of this new electronic phase of recording again?
Oh, yeah.
Totally. Oh, yeah.
Well, tell me.
What?
What? Pardon me?
Tell me.
Well, we're just gonna. We've been writing, and we have about 6 or 7 songs ready for the next record.
No, it's pretty funny. So I work downtown Cleveland, and at lunchtime, I go across the street to Starbucks at this hotel, and I have GarageBand on my iPad, and I'd like for that 1 hour, I'd sit there and I put a couple things down, and I sent it to Mel, and
she composed
lyrics about it. It's like, it's really cool.
Okay.
It turned out really well, right?
Yeah.
So
you
mean you're the prime mover. You come up with a thing, throw it to Miss Melvis, and she deals with it.
Well, no. She's still writing on her own with her guitar.
Okay.
I don't want to sidetrack.
You didn't leave the guitar for this new electronics phase.
Well, no, but we're not really sure what's going to happen because I have...
I bought a great pedal. It's an H9 Eventide harmonizer that she is using now. It's like... just an awesome, one of the best pedals ever made. And so we just, tell them about the slow wave.
Oh yeah, we just did a show it's called the Go Factory. It's a artist space. And we just did a piece that John composed called Slow Wave. It was the Stages of Sleep. And it was
five stages of sleep.
And it was a little departure for us. I used to be in a noise band previous to this, before I moved to Texas. And John really hadn't delved into that, but he has jazz roots. So together, that sort of jazz, electronic thing came together.
Yeah, we just need an excuse to make noise.
Yeah.
And it was good noise.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if I'll ditch the guitar completely.
No, you can't.
No, I won't.
What you're saying is, it was kind of approach to the electronic thing, but it was John's composition, so it wasn't really Duo Decibel System.
No, it was still both of us because like she played guitar over the whole thing.
Yeah, I understand you guys performing it, but it was one of your compositions, so maybe not the same as
it was. Band. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, he's been composing these electronic songs as just nuggets of ideas, but I'll end up filling them with words, and they're good to go. You know, so.
Yeah, sure. So it's a kind of different direction for the band.
Oh yeah.
Oh totally. Yeah, we're going down that road. I mean, there's no looking back now.
No.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear this stuff when it comes out. Will you please flow me?
Oh, of course.
Do you want us to send you stuff? I mean, we got stuff ready to go.
Of course.
Seriously, we will. Yeah.
Bring it on. I want to thank you so much for being on the show. Really
thank
righteous
you.
Having you aboard, and I want you to keep on keeping on.
We will. We're committed. So.
Okay. It's been the August 18th, 2016 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. Special guests, Duo Decibel System out of Cleveland, Ohio. Everybody, keep your powder dry.